Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. And, you know, I get a treat once in a while. I get to usually see my friend about once a month. And unfortunately, he doesn't have the same spot for me on Wednesdays, but I love him. He's my friend, and he's a key man at After the Bell or the Close at Fox Business, my friend David Aspin. Welcome aboard, David.
Well, we still have you on After the Bell at 4.
Yeah, occasionally. But I liked it when I was here all the time. I just like
it. All right, well, we're going to get you there more. It's 4 o'clock on FBN, Fox Business Network. You can't go wrong watching Todd Horowitz from any particular perspective on any particular subject.
Well, and of course, that goes for you as well, because you are the man who really understands it. And, you know, being a journalist your entire life and actually visiting my neighborhood, but so David, there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but I think the first thing that's recently right hot off the press is this negative interest rate we're now hearing circulate. And, you know, they've done it in Europe, and now we're coming here. And because the Fed doesn't have enough spine to raise interest rates, which really is the best solution, even if the market falls, we now have the negative interest rate talk. What are your thoughts?
Well, let's be specific about what happened. On Friday, the New York Fed president, who's probably outside of the chairman and vice chairman, the most important member of the Fed, suggested on a competing news network, whose name shall not be mentioned here, and I'm quoting him now, he said, some of the experiences in Europe suggest that maybe we can use negative interest rates and the costs aren't as great as you anticipate. Now, according to whom are the costs? Savers in the United States are already getting killed by negative interest rates. We've talked about that. It's hurting the most vulnerable. These negative interest rates are the zero interest rates are hurting the most vulnerable members of our country, namely the retired savers, our mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers. They're being killed by these zero interest rates because there is inflation. The cost of food is going up. The cost of taking a train or a bus is going up. So as the most vulnerable people are getting hit the hardest by zero interest rate, now they're talking about the possibility of negative interest rates, and it's not going to hurt anybody. Well, of course it will hurt people, and it's going to make it even more clear that the Federal Reserve has become a tool of Wall Street and has ignored Main Street, and that can't continue. If they do this negative interest rate, which would be even more punishment for savers, there will be a political backlash. Now, I'm always afraid of politicians getting involved in a central bank, and particularly our central bank. However, if they go down this road of you know, punishing savers even more than they've already been punished with negative interest rates, I think politicians are going to step in and curb the power of the Fed. That could create a huge, huge dilemma for this country, which has had an independent central bank since the early part of the 20th century. I guess it was 1913,
baby.
Yeah, when they started the Federal Reserve. So, you know, they've made mistakes before, but this would be so catastrophic in terms of hurting the very people they were set up to protect. They weren't set up to protect Wall Street. The Federal Reserve was set up to protect Main Street, to protect the commercial banks where most average regular folks had their mortgages, and which were killed during the Depression, which were killed during the panics, the earlier financial panics of the early part of the 20th century. That it was that the commercial banks that the Federal Reserve was set up to protect as the lender of last resort. Now they've come to view themselves as the protector of Wall Street. That is not their job, and particularly if in order to protect Wall Street, they're hurting Main Street.
Now, do you really believe, and I'm curious, I don't know your answer, do you believe that the Fed is really still independent, or do you believe that there's somebody else pulling the strings along with them?
The Fed has always had a weakness, and it depends on who the chairman is. It really does. The weakness has been the the vulnerability to political arm twisting, and that usually comes from the executive, from the president. That happened during the Nixon administration. That happened at various times throughout the years during FDR's presidency, and I believe it is now happening first with Ben Bernanke, and even more so with Janet Yellen, because I think she's even weaker than Ben Bernanke was. Other Fed chairmen like Paul Volcker stood firm. He was, we forget, even though Paul Volcker is thought of as a hard-nosed conservative because he was so tight with money policy, he kept interest rates very high in order to kill off inflation in the late 70s and early 80s. He was appointed by Jimmy Carter, by a Democrat. So he defied the president that appointed him, and frankly, his appointment and the raising of interest rates are one of the things that led to Ronald Reagan being elected in 1980, because the economy went into a deep recession as a result of what Paul Volcker did. I think it was necessary what Paul Volcker did, because we had to kill inflation once and for all, but the economy swooned as a result of it, and that made Jimmy Carter's stance, which was already weak, even weaker because the economy was bad. So some Fed chairmen like Paul Volcker stand up to the politicians. Others fold in front of the politicians. Arthur Burns folded in front of Richard Nixon, and now began with the low interest rates with Greenspan, although Greenspan realized his mistake and raised interest rates very high once he kept them too low for so long. But then Bernanke came in and just threw in the deck and said, okay, you know, I'm going to have the zero interest rate policy. And then Janet Yellen continued. And now the suggestion of negative interest rates by the New York Fed chair is frightening. It is absolutely frightening to me.
Oh, I think it's very frightening. But of course, I'm very frightened of the Fed and the whole political system as it sits. And I know the Fed is not part of the political system, but I really believe that deep down inside they are pushed around a little bit. And again, you can see that because, in my opinion, they kind of watch what Wall Street is doing, and that bases they base their decision. I mean, it was never more clear than in 2013 in May when Ben Bernanke said, well, we're going to raise rates. And of course, Wall Street had what we call, is now famously known as, the taper tantrum. And then he backed off, and they have now the Fed chairs or the Fed, the central bankers all step out, and they give turns giving speeches. When did it become so important that we have to have different Fed guys coming out every other day talking one way or the other about the market and about what they're
doing?
Well,
you know what it's a part of, and this may be a stretch, but you look at the naivete of the Obama administration on things like the Arab Spring, and, you know, oh, everything will be rosy and dozy if everybody just talks to each other, and you know, I'm going to extend an open hand, not a fist, to Iran, and if we talk with each other, and if we talk with the Muslim Brotherhood, and we talk with all these people, it's the world will be a bed of roses, and everybody will get along, and democracy will flourish. Well, that ain't the way the world works. Unfortunately, you know, there's bad stuff that happens, and sometimes you got to be tough, and whether that bad stuff is the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIS, or whether that bad stuff is inflation. Sometimes you gotta be tight mouth, clench your teeth, and go in and fight. And that's what Paul Volcker did in the late 70s and early 80s, all through the 80s, really, until Greenspan came in 88. And now, you know, we're in that touchy feely sort of administration where talking is good, and every Fed president from around the country, and even the economists from the Fed now are talking, and every time they talk, the market takes some kind of either spike or dive, depending on what they say, and it's just out of control. You know, it has to do with management. It's badly managed now, and that's because Bernanke put in place these procedures to make it open that frankly are just for show, and they're hurting everything. We need a consistent management policy at the Fed, and it has to get back to its roots, which is maintaining the value of the currency. That was its original.
And of course, as David is saying, that is its original standing, or what was supposed to be done. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with my friend David Asman from Fox Business. After the bell, you can catch him every day at 4 o'clock. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out here for a break and be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
dreams. There's no one but you. Maggie, I think I got something to say.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwood with you. And, of course, we're visiting with our friend David Asman from Fox After the Bell, now with Melissa Francis. And what a great show it is, and what a great guy David is. You keep bringing us the good stuff, but let me remind you that it is also time to take care of your portfolio. You need to be hedged. You need to be set up and ready to go. And, of course, we are now offering some special classes for everybody that you can check out right now at thebubbashow.org. I tell you that I would not recommend something that I didn't believe in or didn't do myself. So make sure you go check it out, because, again, it's really important, especially in these times of craziness. As David and I talk about the Fed, of anything can happen, and one of these days the bubble is just going to burst. But now let's get back to our friend David Asman from Fox Business After the Bell. Let's get back to David.
Its original intention was to make sure that the currency stood its ground, and it's just been all over the place, and that's why the market's been all over the place.
And of course, the currency has not really stood its ground. It has actually just been continuing to be devalued as we continue to print more dollars, which, you know, brings me to another problem. You know, we're now into, you know, I don't know when election season started, 2 years before the actual thing. I mean, you know, I kind of like the, what is it, the London way or the England way, where you had 6 weeks and everybody's got the same amount of money to deal with. And
right,
this is
right.
Because
it is what it is. This is America. We're Wild West. You can't get rid of it. It's like, yes, the gun situation is messy, but I don't want to get rid of the Second Amendment. And yes, the political system is messy, but I wouldn't like the parliamentary system. I prefer the presidential system. It's just it's been fun, Todd, hasn't it?
Oh, no, I agree with you. But what I'm concerned about, David, is I look around and we've got, I mean, look at what's going on here. You've got Hillary Clinton, number one. I mean, you know, first of all, I wish she'd make up her mind who she's trying to attract. Okay, I mean, she goes back and forth, and she's got so many skeletons that how does she manage to maintain her lead in the Democratic Party for the nomination with everything that's gone on in her past and in her history?
Well, she hasn't been. She's been losing ground tremendously. Double-digit falling in the polls, and Biden, if he steps in, if and when he steps in, beating her in several states. I frankly just think there's the weight is against her now. There's been so much pile up. Pile on of stuff that she's been involved with that's coming back to haunt her, that people don't trust her, and that there's just nobody. There's going to be a debate this week, you know, on Tuesday, and between her and Bernie. I don't think she'll suffer much from that, because Bernie Sanders is not going to is not really going to focus on her weakest spot, which is, of course, her honesty. But that honesty quotient is just practically non-existent now. I mean, nobody believes that, there have been so many direct contradictions of herself. First, the server was Bill's. Then it was mine, but there was nothing confidential or secret on it. Then it turns out there was a lot of secret stuff on it. Then it, you know, just one contradiction after another, and it's built up, and Americans are not stupid, and they the message has gotten across that that what she has said is not true, and therefore people don't think she's honest. So I honestly do not believe that she's going to be the candidate, the Democratic candidate. I think if Joe Biden gets in, he'll be the candidate, and he'll be a strong candidate, and he'll probably run for one, announce that he's running for one term, just to get this country, or the political system, back talking to each other, and that's going to be a strong message that he will have. It's going to be very difficult for a Republican to come out with the campaign that could counter that.
Well, in fact, I've said all along that I thought Joe Biden would come in. But so with Bernie Sanders' platform proposing spending of over $18 trillion in the next 10 years, including health insurance and every American citizen, he proposed a new tax on the wealthy of $6.2 trillion to pay for it. Where does the other $12 trillion come from, in your opinion?
Out of the air. It's magic. I mean, you know, it's the socialism. You can't believe in socialism unless you believe in magic. And grown-ups know that magic is just a sleight of hand. And those people who never grew up, like Bernie Sanders, believe that magic is real. you know, that you can just get money out of the air, and that it will have value. That's just not the way the world works. So he's in fairy tale land, as any socialist is. You know, it's okay to believe in fairy tales when you're a kid, but most people who grow up realize that, you know, that magic is just a sleight of hand. So they're either socialists or either liars who realize that they're talking about something that's not true, that there's no money to back up their promises, or they're people who never grew up. They're immature people that still believe in fairy tales. I don't know which one it is for Bernie. I haven't seen any evidence that he's a liar, so I must assume he's just one of those people who never grew up. I went to college in Vermont, where he's the senator of Vermont, even though he's a transplant. You can hear from he's got a New York accent, but he's in Vermont, and that turned off a lot of Vermont farmers, frankly. But all the hippies that moved to Vermont after the 60s, including some of the radicals from the Weather Underground and others who moved to Vermont, are the ones that they populated very quickly, and they voted him in. And they still believe in this stuff. And, I can't believe that more than, I don't know, 20% of the American public could believe that's true. I'm hoping that it's not much more than that, maybe 30% at the most. So that's the most Bernie Sanders. So Bernie Sanders, I don't think will ever has a chance of getting elected, but he has a solid 20% to 30% of people that are still living in a fairy tale world.
Well, let me ask you a question. Where do you think we went wrong as a government? I mean, it's been building on, obviously, for years. But from the original founding fathers of a country that was built on, you know, small business, small government, entrepreneurship, building your own, and now we've come into more of a generation of robots, and, you know, this is what we do, and we know that we have the ability to continue to print more money. We can continue to spend more money than we take in. When did the things start to change, and how do we fix it?
Well, in recent time, I mean, there are two ways of looking at it. The close-up way, and then the 30,000-feet way. The close-up way is it started in 2008, and I can pinpoint it to a weekend. The weekend in September, I can't give you a date. I'd have to go back to look at the date. But there was a weekend in September, and I'm sure you remember this, when what was his name? Paul, the Treasury Secretary under Bush, the last Treasury Secretary under Bush. At any rate, where he came out with his three-page plan to rescue the banks. Remember that?
I do.
That was the TARP plan. The TARP began as just three pages of notes on which the Treasury Secretary suggested that there be the bailout of the banks. I remember interviewing a famous attorney called David Boies, the guy who defended Al Gore in the 2000 election before the Supreme Court, but who's a liberal Democrat, but he's a free market supporter to an extent. But I interviewed him, and he's that Sunday, and he said the free market is over, and that was hyperbole. That was going a little bit too far, but it really was a sort of failure of the people controlling the political system in this country to realize that sometimes, I'm going to not use the word, but sometimes stuff happens in the marketplace and you just got to let it happen. And you can't, when the government comes in to try to take over an entire industry, in this case the financial industry, in order to, quote, save it, you create more distortions in the market than would exist if you just allowed the nature to take its course and corrections to take their place. Now, there would be a lot of people hurt by those corrections. A lot more people would be thrown out of jobs and everything. But as we remember what's happened since 2008, we went through a terrible recession. A lot of people lost their jobs anyway. In this case, probably Citibank would have closed down because Citi was a terribly run bank. It had overextended itself, and they were the first. They would be the first big bank to go. That would have left a lot of problems in our financial system. But in this case, the central bank, the only job of the central bank, really, I think, the only significant job that it has is being the lender of last resort to prevent total runs on banks, to prevent depositors from losing their money.
Right, from running to the bank and getting their money out.
Right, right. Well, that's we do have a Federal Reserve that can prevent that.
And of course, that is correct, David. We continue to work on the Federal Reserve. And of course, again, I'm not a fan. I think it needs to be redesigned or reorganized. But again, for those of you who understand that at any day, the markets could decide to collapse, that the Fed could pull their funding type of deal, go to thebubbashow.org and check it out. By the way, also, I am giving away my book. You can buy it. Well, you don't have to buy it. You can pay for the shipping right at thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we are going to stop by here for a break. We'll be back with David Asman after
you're
the
so
break.
Delicious.
The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
So.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here. And, of course, we're with our friend David Asman as we continue to break down the political scheme and the overall what's going on in the world. And, of course, I can think of nobody better. So let's get back to David as we had to cut off in midstream from the break. But let's get back to David right now as he answers more questions.
Unfortunately, the financial crisis happened immediately, almost immediately after we got rid of Glass-Steagall. And that means that the financial institution in this country, financial banks as opposed to commercial banks, the Wall Street gamblers got access to all that easy money that the Federal Reserve was pouring out to the commercial banks, because there were windows open for both the commercial banks and the Wall Street banks. So in my mind, that's when the problems began. Not so much with the loans that the government made to the financial institutions, because those loans were paid back with interest, and that was not bad. I was not opposed to the loans. What I was opposed to was giving the financial institutions the same access to the Federal Reserve money, the discounted Federal Reserve money that commercial banks have. The Fed was not designed for Wall Street. The Fed was designed for Main Street. And again, it gets back to what we were saying before. If you sacrifice the concerns of Main Street, of the vast majority of Americans, for the sake of a small group of gamblers on Wall Street, I think that's anti-American.
I could not agree with you more.
So that's where I think it began. You can go back further and say, you know, the whole FDR experiment and sort of recovering from that, and then LBJ and his Great Society programs and everything. But more recent history, I think our problems right now stem from that belief in 2008 that the government had to step in and completely bail out the financial industry. Again, there's nothing wrong with making loans. The Fed is the lender of last resort, and it serves a good purpose, I think, in doing so. But to open the Fed window to all the financial institutions was, I believe, a mistake.
I could not agree with you more there. Now, we've got our buddy Donald Trump running around, and now, I mean, obviously, I do like some of the things he says.
Sure.
But in my opinion, he's just jerking around, and he really has no intention of ever really running. A, do you think I'm right or wrong? And B, do you think he'd be good if he did run?
I think you're wrong. I think he does want, I think he has every intention of winning the presidency. And I don't know if that was true from the get-go. I think in the beginning he believed that, you know, he was going to, excuse me, he was going to have a run of it and have some fun and spread the Trump brand around and stir up some, you know, stir up some trouble and some fun and get some of his views out on immigration and other stuff. But now that he is, look, how can you be that far ahead in the polls and not feel the temptation of being president? I mean, Trump, his entire life has been into power. Power is a goal. I mean, yes, he's made a lot of money, although not as much as he says he has. It's more like $4 or $5 billion than $10 or $12 billion. But the point is, it's not so much the money with Donald, even though he loves it, and that's great, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's the power. He loves to be close to and in control of power. And what is more powerful than being president? Maybe being Federal Reserve Chairman. But you know, I think he would. I think now that he's tasting, you know, tasting the dish on the mountaintop, he likes it, and he wants to keep feeding off it. So he'll go as long as it takes. I believe him when he says, look, if he begins to tank in the polls, he's not a fool. He doesn't want to humiliate himself and or the people that back him, so he would pull out. So I do believe he's serious about running. Now, could he win? Anything is possible. I mean, you know, look at President Obama. His election, one of the positive things about his election was just proving that anything is possible in becoming in, you know, the race for the presidency. That's it's a great thing that you know, just about anybody could be president. So yes, he could be president, but gosh, I can't. You know, we were talking about Hillary's contradictions. He said some things that are contradictory as well, and I just wonder in the course of a campaign whether he'd be able to talk his way out of it. There's nobody is a better talker than he is. Absolutely, he is the best talker in the world, and he can, you know, he could talk an Eskimo into buying ice. But he's just you know, he's just made a lot of errors. Plus, he also, you know, does have a history of working. Not only, you know, he thinks it excuses himself to say that yes, I've paid off politicians in order to get what I want, but that's not. He's going to need more than just honesty to deal with that issue. He's going to need to say what he would do to change the system. And so far, I haven't heard that.
Well, no, he talks well and he puts himself out there and he makes a lot of brash statements, but overall. He is Donald. He is for Donald, and it's okay. Listen, I love a lot of things he says. I agree with a lot of things he says, so I have no issue there. Any chance, in your opinion, that Mitt Romney decides to make another run? The Romney family, they want to get up to $1 billion of their own money of trying to be president.
Yeah. No, I don't see that happening. I mean, he just ran such a bad race the last time, and the great thing about Donald Trump is when he says what everybody knows to be true. He says I made a lot of money and I want to make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with it. And yes, I paid as little in taxes, and I always want to pay as little in taxes. I don't want to pay more taxes. I don't think the government's using my money well. Why should I give my money to people who are abusing it and misusing it? So instead of doing that, Mitt was always saying, you know, oh, you know, I've done everything I can to pay all my taxes to you know, and even more, and he tried to downplay his money making, and you know, then he looked like a hypocrite when they found that car garage in La Jolla, California. And so I just don't think he's got a shot at it.
I've got two questions for you left, my man. I've got okay. Number one, who is your dream ticket? If you were to pick of anybody, who would you want to see running for president?
Oh, God. All right. And I'm just going to tell you this because it's not going to happen, because I can't, you know, of those who are running, I can't say, because of my job, I can't say who I'm in favor of.
Right.
But if I had a dream ticket, you know, I would say, and this sounds nutty, but I think I like Paul Ryan a lot. And I'm glad that he's rethinking his whole speakership thing, and he may become speaker. But he's a, you know, there are a lot of conservatives or people who claim to be conservatives who say he's not a conservative, and as if they have a good litmus test. Well, I think he is, and I knew Jack Kemp pretty well. And he sort of was weaned at the knees of Jack Kemp when he was just a young 20, early 20s. He came by the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal back when I was working there, and he knew more about tax cutting and this whole supply side revolution, the Reagan supply side revolution, than any of the people at the editorial page. I mean, the guy is, you know, it's in his blood. Reagan conservatism is in the blood of Paul Ryan. So I would love to see Paul Ryan, and then maybe Carly is his VP to get an outsider in there.
I do like Carly a lot myself, and I think that she'd be okay. And I have no problem with Paul Ryan. I think that he's a good Midwesterner boy, and I think that he'd be fine. I could not disagree with you, and I know you can't give because of your job, but okay. So now my last, so, you know, as we, you know, continue, you know, talking to David, and I hope you're understanding, and again, this is not necessarily a political side or where we're picking. I mean, you can obviously, we're more conservative, but as David said earlier, that he's, you know, basically a conservative liberal type of situation. But at the end of the day, okay, we have a system that is really not functioning properly. And that doesn't matter which side of the aisle that you are on. Neither side is doing what we would consider an adequate job to help us, the citizens of the United States of America, a good job to help us succeed, nor are they taking care of business as they continue to spend more than they make or than they take in. And again, I find that, you know, extremely frightening from that standpoint that we continue to allow that. Now, don't you think it's time that we step up and retake America? Is it not time to rebuild, retake, and remake? Because there is no place like it. This is the best place in the world. But of course, as we've heard, you know, from politicians or from the old founding fathers, is government should not be too big. And the problem is that government creates more problems than it solves when they continue to expand. And of course, you remember Ronald Reagan, was it 9 words? I'm here from the government and I'm here to help, is when you should be afraid. And you should be, you know, again, I don't like to preach fear to anybody. It's not my way. It's not my nature. And I don't believe it. But what I do believe is that portfolio protection is the key to success, the key to compounding your money, the key to creating almost the endowment model within your own portfolio. And I don't want anybody to suffer through the major collapse that we're going to have again. And again, it may be a year from now. I'm not telling you when it's going to be. But there are ways to benefit from the markets moving up and while be protected from the markets going down. And that's more important, so then you don't have to make that tough decision. Go to thebubbashow.org right now. Check it out. We've got it up there posted for you. If you're not sure, just email me. I'll be happy to answer all your questions. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out for a break. Be back with David Aspin. Right,
10 miles from town, and I just broke down. 10,000 beers in 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I'm hanging out with my friend, and a good friend, okay, really a straight-up guy that I love and I respect, and I respect his opinion. I respect what he does. I mean, he did do things, used to be from South America, used to do work for the Wall Street Journal and others, but has really found his niche as one of the key cogs on Fox Business. Really one of the experts, but we're going to ask him now about his thoughts of what does it look like 50 years from now, and how do we view this, what I'm going to call the dark period in the United States of America. So let's get back to our friend David right now. David, in 50 years, when they look back at the 8 years of President Obama, in your opinion, how will it be viewed and how will he be graded out? And what do you think of his overall performance?
I do think that there has not been a more incompetent administration in my lifetime. There may well have been in the history of the United States. I can't speak to more than my lifetime. But previous to this, I would have said Jimmy Carter's administration was the least effective and most harmful globally. But when you think of everything that has happened, the terrible decision to pull out of Iraq the way he ordered his generals to do it has led to the development and the expansion and spreading like roaches of ISIS, and that alone was bad enough. But then this Iranian deal, I got to tell you, when Donald Trump beats up on the Iranian deal, I think he's 100% right. I do think it's one of the worst deals we've ever made, and it is a treaty, by the way. It was not a deal. It was a treaty. We have arms control treaties that date back to the 70s and previous to that, but that were less a treaty than this deal that was made. So to call it a deal was just done so that he could avoid the constitutional mandate that he get two-thirds of the Senate to approve of it, because it never would have received two-thirds of the Senate. It should have been voted down by our House of Representatives, by the Senate and the House, and it wasn't because of some fast talking and dancing to try to call what was a treaty a deal. So, and that leads to the other thing about this administration that I think is so destructive is the over expansion of the executive branch of the federal government and to overriding the wishes and desires of the American public when it comes to things like health control, with Obamacare and judicial appointments, all kinds of things. This administration just really seems to have a contempt for the whole, you know, system. You can't this. Our system operates as a three-legged stool, you know, with the executive, judicial, and Congress. this president has determined to cut off one of the legs of the stool, and you know, a two-legged stool won't stand, and at least, you know, for long. So I'm just hoping that we get the third stool back in there before we tip over. The problem is that the world is becoming so, you know, so fragile as a result of the mismanagement that, you know, who knows what's going to happen by the time we get this, our own political situation straightened out. Bottom line is, I think this is just a really disastrous administration in terms of its policies and the way it has executed those policies.
David Aspin, as always, thank you for your thoughts and your sight and your insight. I really appreciate all the extra time you spent with us today.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you so much.
David Aspin from Fox Business. Check him out every day at 4:00 Eastern Time. He is the man. He is my friend, and I can't wait to go have a couple of cigars with him at the Macanudo Club when I get back into New York, because it's always a fun time hanging out with David. But what did you think of what he had to say? Okay, you know, and again, he had to be careful in certain things because of his job. But what did you think? I mean, is it true? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things going on that just aren't logical to the overall system. And, you know, I find it hard to get excited, you know, even now with the upcoming election. I mean, what do we have here? We have a bunch of chasing money, super PAC, all this money that's going to be pissed away for nothing. Okay, what are we going to really end up with? But most likely something more of the same that we've had. Why is that? Because, of course, in my opinion, this is Bubba's opinion, government is too big. Government spends. You cannot tell me that spending more than you're taking in is the answer. I cannot live with that. I cannot stomach that. I believe that that is totally a joke. I think it's ludicrous. I can't understand it. I don't want to comprehend it. It's a sure recipe for disaster. Spending more money than you make does not work. Now, unfortunately, we as citizens can be on that, well, how much is by the month, and hopefully I can keep earning, because we know that at some point we're going to get shut out. We're going to get shut down. Should not the government have to be under the same standards as the American people? Now, should they not have a budget? And I mean a real budget, not a budget that they can over deficit and they can spend more than they take in. Should we not be held to, we can only spend the amount of money that we're taking in? Where is it that we decided that we're going to spend and create artificial money to continue to spend, entitling, doing ridiculous programs? So if you can tell me, if you can look me in the eye and explain to me why you don't think the government is too big, I welcome anybody. And in fact, I will challenge anybody to come on air with me. If you believe that the government is operating at the way that it should, the way that it was designed to do, and you want to defend it, I welcome you to call me, email me. I will be happy to talk about it with you live on air anytime that you want. Okay, because if you really believe in a process, and forget about your politics, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you can really look me in the eye and say, hey, I think it's great that we are spending more money than we're taking in, and I think it's great that we are now operating no different than Greece, except that we have more abilities, okay, because we are the most powerful, okay, then I welcome you to debate me about it live on air anytime, because again, I'm for this country. I don't want to see it fail, but certainly it's like a business. You can watch it chipping away piece by piece. You can watch the breakdown of the American economy as we continue to overspend, overindulge, overentitle, and forget about what got us here to make us the most powerful nation. Okay, we didn't get to be the most powerful nation in the world by spending, by overspending. We got there by hard work, by capitalism, by the good old-fashioned entrepreneurial spirit that took us above, and we got there without being overregulated. We got there without the socialism policies that we're seeing now. We got there without the jackasses like Bernie Sanders running around trumpeting his bullshit. Okay. So, but again, I challenge anybody, you're welcome to come. Just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will talk to anybody about this on air. But I do want to always, again, I don't warn, I don't create fear, but we know that if there was a way to protect your portfolio, okay, and not go into crapper the next time the markets go down, or if you're sitting on cash and you want to learn how to protect that cash while being in the market, while generating some overall yield, okay, because we can share that. The Badger and I are running a phenomenal program in teaching long-term hedging and how to make sure that you are protected. This is not gambling. This is straight up insuring your portfolio without spending a lot of money to do so and not giving up your advantages as the investor. But that'll do it for today. Just check out thebubbashow.org. You can see it in our store right now. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. It's been a great day. I love David Asman. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.